Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I know that we are in store for just another glorious time in the Lord on today. And so we have a wonderful, wonderful lesson. So grab your Bible and come right in and make yourself right at home. I am so excited that you are joining me here at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment, where we are sharing biblical lessons and giving great and wonderful tools, and that the children of God can live a victorious life, amen, through the word of empowerment from biblical lessons and principle, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. And so I am so glad that you are here with me on today. The lesson that we're going to be talking about on today is going to be belonging to Christ, and it's going to be coming from several passages of scriptures on today. And you can mark those down, Mark chapter number 10, verse 17 through 22, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22 through 23, and Philippians chapter number 2, verses 9 through 13. And so as we look at the word of the Lord today, and it reads on this line, Mark, it said, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witnesses, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my mouth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he said, at that saying, and went, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. 1 Corinthians 7, verses number 20 through verse 23 says, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he is called. Art thou being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is calleth in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freedman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13 says, wherefore God also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So far, the reading of our scriptures for today, and our focus is going to be centered around 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. We also must recognize that at one time we were slaves to sin before we was purchased by the Lord, but now we belong to him, and we should dedicate everything we owe to him. Everything that we owe, we must dedicate it to him. And let's look further at this particular wonderful and glorious lesson that we're looking at on today. As we look here at this particular lesson, we begin to find some great things that are transpiring. It said, when the Lord created man in the Garden of Eden, he was actually made unique creature. God made man of the dust of the earth, yet he gave man an eternal soul with freedom to make choice. Man was created with the ability to reason, to think, and to feel emotions. Moreover, he was able to communicate his thoughts, desires, and will to God and to others. Man would have to decide for himself whether he was to live according to the laws of God or whether he would rebel against his creator. And that's very critical for us to recognize as children of God. The question is, are we going to live according to the will of God and the laws of God, or are we going to rebel against him and live according to our own will, because he has given us our will in things, our will to live and to make our own decisions. And so that's critical for us to recognize too as well. Now let's look further into this particular lesson as we move further. God did not give up on man, but made various provisions throughout the dispensation so that communication and fellowship could be restored between himself and man. Ultimately, the Lord himself, he came in flesh and dwelled as the Son of God among mankind and gave himself for the sins of the world. God sent his Son into the world to die for our sins and to be our sacrificial substitute and to purchase our salvation with his own blood. To avail ourselves of this precious gift of eternal life in Christ, we must believe and obey the plan of salvation that is prescribed in the word of the Lord. We must obey the gospel message of even Acts 2:38 by repenting of our sins and being baptized in the water in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God. The new birth experience, it actually frees us from the sins of this life, and we become servants of the Lord instead of slaves to sin. It is vital that we surrender all to him and do his will, for now we belong to him. We are no longer our own because we have been bought with the price of Christ's precious blood. Every part of our life is now at his disposal as we yield the throne of our lives to him. The scriptures reveal that we cannot serve both the Lord and the devil. Christ will be Lord of all in our lives or not Lord at all. We cannot serve God and overly concern ourselves with the cares of this life. Moreover, we must make our choices, decisions according to his divine will. The Lord loves to bless his people. He trusts us with material possession, but we are to be good stewards and recognize the divine ownership thing that we possess. Now, there are blessings and security in belonging to Christ. He is going to take care of us in every area of our lives. He is concerned about our physical, material, financial, and spiritual needs. It is comforting to know that nothing can pluck us out of his hand except our own disobedient action and our own decisions as well. Now, there are several blessings in allowing our talents and our ability to be used for the work of God in earth. We are his property. Our hands, our feet are useful in laboring for the Lord. Our lips sing the praises of God. We pray and intercede for others as he directs us. We are members of the body of Christ and the servants of the Lord as long as he is supreme and exalted upon the thrones of our lives. He is the one who is to be glorified and praised because we can do nothing without him. He is divine and we are the branches and we are to exalt him. Further, let's look at the believer's state, the purchase by Christ's blood. Now, all of creation, mankind, is different. The animals and the birds live by their God-created direction and directed instincts that he has given them. They have no conscience or guilt. They do not reason or feel responsible for their actions. But within man, God placed a spiritual consciousness. We have an eternal soul, the ability to love, the ability to hate, the ability to laugh and cry. We may exercise our free will and make choices. From the beginning, mankind was given the ability to make choices regarding his relationship with God. He could choose to obey God or defy his law. With those choices would come certain consequences. If a person served God, he would receive the benefits and blessings. But if he chose to disobey the Lord, and the punishment will be swift as well as sure. Now, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God and caused the entire human race to come up under bondage of sin. Our forefathers became servants of sin. They were brought under bondage to the desires and whims of the flesh. God is merciful and long-suffering. He could have destroyed mankind from the face of the earth, but in his love and compassion for his creation, he spared us. Now, looking back from the gloomy judgment day in Eden, God promised a redeemer that would bruise the head of the adversary. In that dark hour, a ray of hope shined upon the human race. God made merciful provision for every group of people throughout the various dispensation for restored communication as well as fellowship. But his ultimate act of restoration came at Calvary. In God's own time, he robed himself in fleshly body and was born of a virgin named Mary as the Son of God. His father was the Holy Spirit. So the only begotten Son of God was both human and deity. The scriptures revealed that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verses number 9. Jesus, the Son of God, was born to die. The shadow of a cross gloomed over him throughout his life because his mission was to give his life and shed his blood to purchase our redemption. Now, only the sinless Lamb of God could die in order to save fallen humanity. Only his blood could wash away our sins. Before Jesus came, the plot of man was hopeless. Man could not exonerate himself from the sinful habit and fears that held him fast. Hopelessly, he served sin and lived under the influence of Satan. Love motivates our Lord to yield himself to the authorities and soldiers who cruelly mistreated him before they crucified him. They brutally beat him on his back and planted a crown of thorns upon his brow, yet he silently endured the mockery of a trial and replenished the false witnesses. He has even determined to provide salvation for us by offering himself as a sin sacrifice for us. A few hours after the mock trial, the earth beneath the old rugged cross received the blood of our precious Lord as his life slowly embedded away. Now, that blood was the price paid for our salvation and deliverance. When a person becomes a believer, he does more than make a verbal statement of accepting Christ as their personal Savior. He also follows God's definite plan of salvation that he might be born again and belong to Christ. A sinner must repent of his sin and feel godly sorrow of the life that he has spent in sin. Now, further, as we continue forward, we see here that they recognize that they need forgiveness as well as the desire to change their one's way of living so that they can please God. Now, these are all part of repentance. We ask this forgiveness for our sin with the intention of not continuing in our old ways of living. The scripture then commands us to be baptized, immerged in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. As part of the new birth experience, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ washes away sins. The early church practiced baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, for they were fulfilling the great commission that was given to them by the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, Peter commanded water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. This same practice was repeated among the Samaritan, Acts chapter 8, Gentiles, Acts chapter 10, and the disciples of John the Baptist, Acts chapter 19. Now, the Apostle Paul was commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus so that his sins would be washed away. And this is still God's plan to remit or wash away our sins. And that is very, very critical. Now, as we look at Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Furthermore, we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. This birth of the Spirit completes the new birth experience. See John 3, verses 3 through 8. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer are we slaves of sin. We are now belong to Jesus Christ. It was once as if we were on the endless treadmill of sin. Sin had us chained so that we could not escape. We were going in endless circles of activity. Satan tempted us and deceived us and influenced us to follow his evil course in this world. See Ephesians 2. Then Jesus came with deliverance. Yet today, enslaving habits of sin still destroy the lives of its victims and send them to an untimely grave. Multitude may desire to be free from sin, but they do not yet know that Jesus made deliverance possible for everyone by his death on the cross. Jesus paid for their freedom, but they must avail themselves of it by obeying the scriptures. The sinners must submit his human will to the call of God. He may hear the word of God preach so that the conviction may grip his heart, but he must make the decision to yield to the beckoning call of God. Let's look at the servant of Christ. A servant is one who serves his master. When we were living in sin, we served sin and self, for they were our masters. Now we are servants of the Lord, and he is our master. What a difference since he broke the chains of darkness in our lives. Sin and Satan are cruel taskmasters. Life can be an exhilarating existence under sin's bondage. Living for Christ, however, is a new and abundant life. Let's look at John 10:10. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'm come that I might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The chain of sins are restrictive, and the loads of guilt is heavy. Sin's yoke is tight and unyielding, but the yoke of Christ is easy and light. Jesus offered us a way of living that is both pleasant and productive. We serve him not because of the fear, but because we love him. Though we have an answer and awesome respect for the Lord, the basis of our service to him is love. We love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus delivered us from the labors of cruel sin to the labor for him in love. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. There is security in being a servant of the Lord. Since we belong to him, we can depend upon him to supply our needs and protect us. The Lord will give us guidance for our lives to be productive. Many Christians testify to the experience of God's providence. Whatever they need, he will take care of us. The angel of the Lord encamps about us, his servant, and watch for their safety. Whether we are on the highway traveling or resting in our home, we can take comfort in the fact that the unseen angels of the Lord are guarding us, and we are the property of Jesus Christ, and we will make sure, he will make sure that we are cared for. Now, since we are Christ, we look to him each day for our marching orders. He is our captain of our salvation. We are under his command. However he directs us, we are to obey his bidding as his servant. When we serve sin, we then bid the will of the flesh and the devil. When we serve sin, we did the will of the flesh and the devil. As free moral agents, it was our choice to serve sin. God called to us to offer salvation, and he left the choice to us. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, Romans 8 and 5. When we were born again, we began to do the will and the bidding of God. As servants of the Lord, we desire to please him and do what he asked of us. Now let's look at believers, how we must surrender all unto him. Some religions have strict codes of ethic and behavior, but they obviously lack the power of God. The people experience no change in their nature. To observe certain rules and regulations in an effort to exercise stringent discipline may be commendable, but without a regeneration, a new birth, such human effort is of no avail. Moreover, it could lead to a new kind of bondage and to the disordered doctrine of self-righteousness. When we are born again, according to the scripture, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We experience spiritual change inwardly and outwardly. Our old stony heart of indifference is replaced with a new compassionate heart full of care and concern. Our desire changed from a life of sin to a life of righteousness. We are from the thoughts of the world, and we are to turn from the thoughts of the world and pursue the mind of Christ. This certainly does not mean that the child of God no longer will be tempted. We still live in flesh, and its orientation is towards this world. If it is not kept under control, the Spirit of Christ in us, it will lead us back to the bondage of sin. But God has given us power and strength to resist temptation as long as we live in the influence of the Spirit. Our new birth has destroyed the shackle of sin that held us for so long. As we look at the life of surrendering, the believer's life is one of surrender to the will of God. While some person might say that this is a spiritual bondage, in reality, it is the only true freedom. The will of God is always the best for us. When we do not recognize or understand, God cares dearly for his servant, for they are not only servants but also his sons and daughters. He even called us his friends. it is a privilege to be a servant of the Lord. The rich young ruler wanted to know the requirement for receiving eternal life. He perhaps thought that keeping the law of Moses was sufficient, for he proudly reminded the Lord that he had obeyed the Ten Commandments, but his obedience had been conditional. He willingly lived a moral life, but he was not willing to give up his conveniency his wealth gave to him. He may have loved God, but he loved his money more. He wanted eternal life, but he wanted his life of ease on earth more. When Jesus asked him to sell his possession and give it to the poor and follow him, the young ruler was unwilling to make a commitment. Jesus asked him to take up the cross and follow him. The surrendered and commitment was more than he was willing to give. Surrendering all and obeying the will of God is difficult for a flesh to handle. The flesh resists doing the will of God. Even Jesus in the garden wrestled with the flesh and struggled with the agonizing that his sweat became as great drops of blood. But Jesus surrendered his will to the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Luke 22:42. Because we do not belong to ourselves, we will often pray a similar prayer. Lord, not my will, but yours. The flesh will struggle and resist, but if we persevere, the Spirit will give us strength to win every battle. The child of God are the hands and feet of the Lord on this earth. We are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ, as the head, gives the command to the body, command that we are to carry out. It is normal for the human body not to carry out the function in the brain. The human body is a marvel, amen. The brain sends the signals and the members respond accordingly. If the signals are scrambled because of disease or injury, the results are pathetic. Since Jesus is the head of the church, it is normal for us to do his bidding. We belong to him. Our duty is to yield to his wishes. Each child of God has been blessed with talents and ability. We can use them for selfish gain or self-gratification, or we can use them for the works of God. Talents really are not ours any longer because we surrendered them to God when he saved us from sin. It is not our decision. Therefore, we should use our talents and ability since they are really his. Our possessions also belong to God. Everything we possess is surrendered to him when we give our lives to the Lord. He allows us to use the possession, but we really belong to him. If he should ask for them, it is only right that we surrender them because they are his. But surrendering all to God is not grievous, for we know that he always has our best interests in mind. North America are accustomed to many freedoms, and they delight in being free people, enjoying a broad spectrum of liberty, however, sometimes causes them to resist submission to biblical commands and principles of behavior. But surrender and submission to the Lord are not difficult to those who believe in God, for they know of his goodness. Our very existence is in the hand of the Lord. Life is a precious gift from him. As the child of God, we recognize and realize the tremendous gift and opportunity that God has given us through our human life. For that reason, we look at life differently from a very carnal people see life, from the way that carnal people see life. We share schools and careers and other decisions with them, but the basic principle and motivation that governs their lives are biblical and spiritual. They ultimately follow carnal desires and ambitions with little or no consideration of one who gave them the gift of life. The child of God asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do with my life?" We consult the Lord in all matters, whether we have to make minor or major decisions. Many children of God have to begin new occupation, and some of them end up in foreign mission fields or even a home mission city to work for Christ. The important thing is to do the will of the Lord in our lives. Now let's look further as we close this wonderful lesson on today. Christ is Lord, the exalted name of Jesus. We are to exalt and hallow the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus in our lives. One of the ways that we may exalt and honor his name is by living godly life in this evil world. By our lives of holiness and dedication to Christ, we bring honor and glory to his cause here on earth. As the Pentecostal have been known through the years as holiness people to refrain from many unwholesome and evil activities, the reputation has not dishonored or reproached Christ. Rather, it has honored him. We honor his name in our daily living as we separate ourselves from evil and commit our lives to his righteousness. We are his ambassadors for Christ in a society that has alienated themselves from the principles of God. The moral fabric of our society is unraveling, and sin is becoming a public, more public and more bizarre. We sometimes walk along spiritual sewages, and we must remain uncontaminated by the immortality moralities of the others. As a pure, clean people, we are to shine as light in this dark world. We should show respect for God, for spiritual things. The name of the Lord is exalted throughout our testimony, our daily lives. On the other hand, if we fail to live godly, the name of the Lord is reproached. Now, let's look at the final thought for today. Jesus Christ is supreme. In the word idolatry, means to worship a false god. It is the failure to recognize that there is only one God and that he is one. The Lord alone is sovereign, and there is no room for another. There is only one true and living God, and all others are false. The child of God belongs to that one true God. No idols can have a place in their life. Our worship is a directed to the true and living God. He must reign supremely in our life. We must serve Jesus Christ. We are not immune to temptations in this world. The daily struggle to provide a livelihood can cause us to be tempted to love possessions. We may even and should enjoy what God gives us. That is our blessing. But we must resist desiring things of this world. Person begins to worship his earthly possession, his love and devotion to Christ will soon be polluted and perverted. We cannot love God and mammon at the same time. We are to love our family, our friends, and all the sinners, but we are to love God first and foremost. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," Matthew 6:33. Now, people have problems when they try to serve two masters. They reach for the two worlds, and they end up losing both of them. A great danger for the child of God today is to be overcharged with the cares of life. Our spiritual bearings must not become confused. If we lose our spiritual compass, we will become lost in the fog and dashed upon the rock. Prosperity becomes, yes, as a child of God, we must maintain the proper priorities in our life, and we can do this only when we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be supreme in our life. Now, the Lord desires to bless his people, amen, and we must be good stewards and not to forget his divine ownership. Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches, and we cannot exist. Without him, we cannot exist. We cannot survive without him. Our spiritual life will come, actually, from him alone. Whatever talents and ability God blessed us with, we must always submit them. Only when Christ is supreme in our decision, activity, can we bring praise and glory to him. There are great blessings in belonging to Christ. We have ample opportunity to be partnered with God in evangelizing the lost. We can intercede for others. and be laborers together with God? The Lord showed us by his example the importance of being a servant. He spent his entire life serving others and gave ultimate gifts of servitude, his life. He vehemently demonstrated servitude by washing the feet of his disciples, and it is his example of a demonstrated servant that we must follow. What a blessed privilege it is, actually, to serve the Lord by serving others, being a blessing to others, having a kind word and ministering to each other. That is a tremendous blessing, especially living in a world when it's all about me and what I want. We must be mindful to be a blessing to one another with our kind words, kind deeds, and being a blessing. Amen. Now, in concluding, our relationship with the Lord is possible because of his sacrifice on Calvary. We were bound in sin and held fast in the grip of the enemy until Jesus purchased our salvation with his blood. We were not redeemed with gold or silver, but Jesus purchased us with his precious blood. His reason for doing so was wrapped up in the words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Jesus made it possible for us to be stripped from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of sin. He replaced the chains of darkness with his own cords of love. We served a cruel taskmaster and Satan, but Jesus came and offered us the yoke that is easy and a light burden. Matthew 11:28-30. The blood of Jesus makes it possible for men to find salvation through the new birth experience explained by Jesus over in John 3:3-8 and proclaimed by Peter, Acts 2:38. We now serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ since we belong to him. We surrender our wills and desires in order to please him in our daily living. His will is always good, and his will is always perfect, and his will is always acceptable. He is always working for our own ultimate good and upbuilding the kingdom of God. There are multiple blessings in living for God. There is security in that we belong to him. He has promised that nothing will pluck us out of his hand. He provided protection for us as holy angels are encamped around about those who fear him and trust in him. There is also great comfort in knowing that he will provide for us in the various areas of life, for he provides for his own. Our needs will be supplied both materially and spiritually in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to allow our talents and our abilities to be used in the works of God. The various talents that we are blessed with came from him, and we gladly extend ourselves to bless others. We are ambassadors for Christ in this world, and we must represent him well in the world. By doing so, we exalt his holy name before the lost. He is always Lord in our lives, and we must lift him up, for he is the one true and living God. He is to receive the glory for any good that come out of our lives. Jesus Christ reigns supreme. I tell you, child of God, that was just an awesome lesson, and I pray that it blessed you on today, that we belong to Christ. Amen. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and privilege. And so I pray that even from this lesson, that you will always realize and recognize over in 1 Corinthians 3:23, ye are Christ and Christ is God. And so you belong to the Lord our God. And just remember that. So as we close this wonderful lesson, let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We pray that you have blessed each and every one of our listeners on today, that you comfort and strengthen their hearts, and that, Lord, that they will know without a shadow of a doubt that they belong to Christ. And so as their day will go, and that you will continue to bless them, undergird them, fortify, and strengthen them in and through and by your power divine. Father, Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, I'm so glad that you joined me on today. I pray that your day will be filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord that will make you rich and add no sorrow. And as I always will say in my conclusion on today, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. According to Matthew 7:7, I pray that there will be a no-sorrow blessing that will come to your house today. And this is our lesson on today, and I'm so glad that you have joined me. And I ask that you just visit our website over at ShekinahGlory.com, ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com, as well as DrHelenArm.com. You can see us there on our website or on the Facebook as Helen Orm. So I look forward to seeing you until we meet again. Call somebody and encourage them to tune in to Home, Helen Orm, Ministry of Empowerment. And so until we meet again, may God richly bless you and your family. Peace be unto you. God bless you. Bye-bye.